And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is success or failure. Each of my guests is pointing out the thin line between success or failure in their particular area of interest. My next guest is an economist and a writer with a special interest in climate and energy issues and local economic development. He's the co-founder of FESTA, which is an acronym for the Foundation of the Economics of Sustainability. It's an Irish-based economic, social, and environmental think tank. We're going to discuss the essays in his latest book, Fleeing Vesuvius. Now, if you've got a question for Richard or if you have some issues or concerns about the economy or the environment, you can always call us at 639-0008. Richard Douthwaite is studied at Leeds and Essex University. He's worked as a government economist in the West Indies before moving to Ireland to become an economist and a writer with special interest in climate and energy issues and local economic development. In 1994, the European Parliament election, he stood unsuccessfully as the Green Party candidate for the, I won't even begin to pronounce it, for Ireland. Let's just call it that. Richard's first book is titled The Growth Illusion, How Economics Growth Enriched the Few, Impoverished the Many, and Endangered the Planets. It was published way back in 1992. It was re-released with an extended and updated edition in 1999. It explores the way that the present economic system is dependent on economic growth and the effects that the resulting pursuit of growth have had on the environment and on the economy. Richard has since helped FESTA devise a cap-and-share framework for emissions reductions that may be adopted by the Irish government. He's also the editor of the new book, Fleeing Vesuvius, Overcoming the Risks of Economic and Environmental Collapse, which is a collection of essays about the environment and the economy. Joining us from Ireland, Richard, how are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you, Bill.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know it's tea time where you are, so I'm particularly grateful to you for that. So let's dive right into it, shall we? You claim that the worst problems that the world faces have a common cause, and we're running out of time to solve these problems. Hence, as you put it, we're in an emergency. So break it down for us. What are the problems? What is the cause? And why is timing running out?
The problem has been created by our overuse of energy. So that's had the knock-on effects on climate change. It's widened the gap around the world between rich and poor. It's led to a massive increase in global populations, which may be unsupportable in the future as energy runs down. The crisis that we're facing is that we've already passed the peak in global oil production, that's of conventional oil, and although there's a big question mark about shale gas, conventional gas production is not too far from a peak, and there isn't nearly as much coal in the world as people thought. So we've marched up the energy hill. We've created an unsustainable system as we marched up. And now the problem is, how do we all march down again, the increased number of us, in relatively good order?
And that is a challenging question. Well, first of all, let's recap if we can. If you talk to the oil companies, ExxonMobil claims that there's probably enough oil for the next 100 years. Yes, you're right. Shale is very questionable at this point. Coal is, even if it's abundant as it is still a very unclean fuel. And then there's natural gas. You have people like T. Boone Pickens out there proposing that we convert in the United States at least our trucking fleet away from diesel and petrol, and we move it towards natural gas, and that will lighten the load for some of us. And the United States, as you know, Richard, is very abundant in natural gas. So we are at that position. However, as human beings, we have always managed to become very, very creative and find solutions. As we went from horse and buggies into more motorized vehicles, we also made the change from coal to petrol-based energy and so forth. Don't you think in time we're going to find a different solution? It's just a question of the right entrepreneur finding the right idea at the right time?
I've no doubt that innovations will help very considerably, and they're certainly needed. I mean, there's quite a lot of excitement building up about the possibility of using algae
right.
To produce food, and there's a lot of fuel, and there's a lot of investment going into that. The trouble is, these new sources are starting from a very low base, and in order to keep the global economy growing, we've not just got to maintain present energy flows, but we've got to continue to increase them. And as far as oil is concerned, the International Energy Agency, which is part of the OECD, did a survey 2 years ago, and it looked at the 800 biggest oil fields in the world and found that output from them was declining at 6.7% a year. So the challenge is to build up these new energy sources, which are starting from virtually nothing, to take over, not just to fill the gap being left by the declining oil, but to carry on producing more and more energy. Because what we've done with the energy is we've turned ourselves into superhumans. We've greatly increased our productivity. Just think of the advantage that having a power tool, like a chainsaw, makes to the rate at which people can work.
Yes.
But if we can't keep that energy supply going, we can't even maintain current output levels. And if we want economic growth, because our money system demands growth, then we're really in a pickle.
All right. Well, let's break it down and let's talk about some of the specifics that you have in your book. We're talking to Richard Douthwaite. He's the author, or actually editor, of the book Fleeing Vesuvius. You break your book down into seven different parts. There's energy availability, innovation in business, money, and finance, new ways of using land, dealing with climate change, dealing with the way we live, changing the way we think, and ideas for action. I want to focus in, because most of the people listening to the sound of our voice, Richard, are in business or at work listening to our show. Let's start with the innovation in business, money, and finance. You said our whole financial structure is based on growth. It is based on higher and higher rates of return. How do we need to change innovation in business, money, and finance to better accommodate this future society that you envision?
The immediate thing is that we've got to move away from a debt-based money system. Apart from the notes and coins, all the money that is in use in Ventura County and elsewhere in the U.S. at present is only there because somebody somewhere has borrowed it. So money is created. Supposing you get a loan agreed with your bank to buy a car.
Okay.
The moment you write out the check to the car dealer, your account goes down by $10,000, his account goes up by $10,000. So that's $10,000 additional that's gone into circulation, but it's balanced by debt. Now, we all know that America as a whole, its government, but its people are grossly overextended
yes.
debt at the moment. And so although the government, the Fed, has gone in for a lot of quantitative easing, it's pushed in $3,000 per head of population in the U.S. into the banking system over the past 6 months. That money is not filtering through to ordinary people because the banks need to lend it. And, you know, who in their right minds, with the uncertainty that's in the economy at the moment, with continuing fall in house prices, wants to get further into debt?
Well, that's in part true, but there are businesses and there are people out there looking for loans. In reality, the money that the Fed has pumped into our banking system in the United States, Richard, has gone to prop up the balance sheets of banks that were teetering on the brink of failure. So the reason the money isn't being lended is because there really isn't any real money to lend there. It has gone to prop up a balance sheet. Because prior to this, there have been bad loans, there have been bad business decisions, and now this money is just meant to solidify our banking system. But how
there are some areas of the economy where people would want to borrow.
Technology being one of them. I mean,
exactly, and that, and we're going to be relying on technology to get out of the mess. But generally, people are reluctant to borrow, and banks, for the reasons you've given, are reluctant to lend. What's tending to happen is people are playing safe. They're hanging on to money that they've got. They're trying to pay down their debts, and that's undermining the employment opportunities that exist in the economy. So, and if we're not going to get growth in the future, because the energy is not going to be there for it, then people are going to continue into the future. There will be some sectors that do grow, but overall the economy is bound to tend to shrink unless energy supplies can not just be maintained but also increased. So we've got to start putting money into circulation on a non-debt basis, because people are going to be so reluctant to take on debt if their incomes are shrinking.
All right. And how do we do that? How do we put in money into the system on a non-debt basis? Because no matter how you look at any transaction, there's always a balancing asset and a liability that goes along with that. If I'm collecting a paycheck from my company, well, I'm collecting the paycheck from my company because they've sold enough that they can afford to continue to pay me, or because they've taken out a business loan that they have enough working capital that they can afford to pay me. How do we move away from a debt-based society, Richard?
There's a school of economic thought coming out of Missouri called modern monetary theory, and under this theory, government, and this will be anathema to you, Bill, government doesn't have to balance its books. Because it's a sovereign government, it can create as much money as it likes, and it can spend it into circulation. If it does too much, of course, then it could cause a runaway inflation. So tax is needed to claw back that. But there's no reason why that money has to be borrowed, why the Fed has to create money out of nothing and lend it to the federal government. That money is just a book entry. There's no need for any debt to be attached to it.
Interesting thesis. We're running out of time, Richard. I'd love to explore that more on a future show, but let's get down to what we can do in action steps that we can do individually, maybe we can do in groups with others, and some of the things that we can't do at all because it's out of our control. What are some of the things that I can do as an individual today to start shifting us away from this energy dependence and towards a more sustainable future?
I think you've got to realize, and you probably do already, that the real price of energy, the amount of time that you're going to need to spend to earn a gallon of gas or a kilowatt hour of electricity is going to go up. So it makes sense now to invest in bringing your personal energy requirements down. The energy that you're going to need to buy to make these investments, insulate your house or whatever it is, it is going to be cheaper now than it's ever going to be in future. But I think the most important level is community action. And there's a group of communities right around the world. The Transition Network, where people are trying very hard to look at the ways in which their own community can become very, very much more self-reliant.
And we'll have to leave it there, Richard, because those networks out there, the transition networks, you can probably Google them on the internet and find them. We've been talking to Richard Douthwaite, everybody, about his latest book, a collection of essays, Fleeing Vesuvius. Very interesting stuff, Richard. If people want to learn more about you or learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
They should go to the FASTA website. That's www.feasta.org. They'll find a lot about fleeing Vesuvius there. We're putting up a chapter from the book each week between now and the end of October, by which time all the book will be available for free download. We're holding discussions on the contents of the chapters there.
Oh, that is wonderful. Our guest has been Richard Douthwaite, editor of the book Fleeing Vesuvius, Overcoming the Risks of Economic and Environmental Collapse. Richard, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to be our guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you for having me on the show, Bill.
Thank you, and take care.